those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Today we have the Community Spotlight on local foster care. And I have Natasha McKay, the manager, caseworker, Armidale office for Challenge, to give me a bit of a hand. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning.
So do you mind if I call you Tash?
That's fine.
So welcome into Community Spotlight, and as I said, we're going to shine the spotlight on foster care in our low community. So why do we need foster care?
Foster care is such an important part of our community. It is supporting our young people who cannot remain at home with their families, unfortunately, and it is such a key to supporting them with having really bright futures.
What we're going to talk about is, why is foster care a part of our community, and why is there a demand for foster care?
I suppose for children and young people coming into care, there seems to be more children and young people coming into care than there is foster carers. So there is at the moment a demand not only across our community, across our region, but I would almost say across the state for carers in need, because unfortunately the amount of children that are coming into care are outnumbering those carers that we have.
Now, you're what's called an NGO, a non-government organisation. People may know of the old DOCS arrangements, where they were the principal one, but now it's an NGO setup.
So what that looks like is we are basically contracted by the department. We are a non-government organisation, like you said. So we are a non-for-profit organisation who is contracted by the government to provide out-of-home care support. So we provide support to the children and young people after they've come into care, and we support them from that point.
There's a number of NGOs, and I'll just go through this. Pathfinders, it's quite prevalent here in Armidale.
Yep.
There's Life Without Barriers. That's principal office in Tamworth. There's TAX, which is the Aboriginal Focus NGO, and they're locally in Armidale. And you've got Challenge, which is here. What's the origin of Challenge?
So Challenge Foster Care is an organisation that is across the state. So we have several offices across the state. Our other office in the region is Tamworth. So we also have a Tamworth office that supports our young people in that area. But we have several offices across the state.
And I think you told me that Challenge has been around for about 15 years?
Yes. So Challenge Community Services was originally a disability service. So we started as a disability service in Tamworth, and then from there they branched into foster care, and we've been around for some time now.
So tell me, what's the type of care that you provide young people?
So there's lots of different types of care and lots of different, I guess, types that we encourage potential carers to consider. So the most, I guess, obvious is we have our permanent care. So what permanent care can look like is either a short-term care or long-term care. So short-term care might be just a permanent placement for up to 2 years, whilst we might be exploring family. We might be exploring whether the children can go home and live with mum and dad or other family members, or we might be exploring another placement. Long-term care is basically a commitment that you will care for that young person until they turn 18. Often they hang around for longer than that, as we know. Then we have respite care. So we have a lot of carers that may only be able to provide care, you know, 1 weekend a month, couple of weekends a month. So they are really important people to be able to provide support to our permanent placements. And then we have emergency care. So that looks like we might have, you know, young people that are just coming into care and we need to place them on an emergency basis.
Off air, you used a word restoration. Mm-hmm. So tell me what restoration is.
So restoration is the primary goal that we work towards when young people come into care. So our number one consideration is always, how can we work with the family for these young people to go home and live safely? So restoration looks like us working with mum and dad, or it could be other family members that might want us to consider that for the young people to go home and live safely back at home.
Would I be right to be say that one of the primary goals of foster care is to keep that connection with family whether that's the principal family or extended family, as much as possible so that restoration is the primary goal at the end, if it at all possible.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I'll just talk about respite for a second, and we will get into how people can get involved in foster care, but my understanding is respite is a very good way of trying foster care.
Yes, definitely. We have a lot of carers who come through the process and start with respite. It's a good way to, I suppose, get a real taste of what it can be like and meet the young people. We also often see potentially carers provide respite to young people, and that may then turn into permanent care, into long-term care. But respite is a really important key to a lot of families to provide the support.
So respite might be a weekend,
yep,
a week or something, while another carer is away. Maybe they had to go to a wedding down south, or they've got a sick relative or some reason they need to take a break or have the child in care looked after elsewhere,
yep,
while they go and do their other family thing.
Yep, that's correct, yeah.
So it's a short-term thing, weekends.
You generally, with respite, have a start and an end date. So generally when we're approaching carers for respite, it's, you know, from this date to this date.
Okay, so let's just move into getting into foster care. What I want to talk about is what would a person, a couple, an individual, what would they have to think about themselves before they actually came and contacted someone like your organisation?
Yeah, what we encourage is lots of thought, lots of conversations, because it's obviously not an easy decision to make at times. So we often encourage families to talk about it for quite some time, or talk about it particularly if they've got other children in the home, talk to them about what it might look like, sharing their space, sharing their home, get their views and their thoughts on what that might look like.
Yeah, I think that's important, because you don't want, let's say it's a couple, you don't want one part of the couple thinking it's a great idea, let's go ahead, and it then progresses to find that the conversation wasn't had with the other, the partner or the children, and then it's the child in care, in their care, that suffers.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, yep, you know, they form a bond after a period of time in that placement. And if they're then taken to another place, it's sort of like, well, what did I do?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they did nothing. It was more a case that it wasn't well thought out before people made the step to do some foster caring.
Yeah. One of the things that we explore first and foremost when carers make an initial inquiry is what that motivation looks like. Everyone's motivation for wanting to be a carer is different. Some motivations are the same, but we're always kind of exploring what that looks like and how we can help in that way.
Tell me about some of the myths that are floating around in foster care.
Yep. I think there's a lot of myths that are floating around in terms of being a carer. One of the biggest myths that I see and that we get spoken to quite a lot is that you have to own your own home. So you don't have to own your own home to be a carer. You can be renting, you can own your own home, but as long as you have a spare bedroom and that commitment of wanting to be a carer, then that is not an issue. There is also a myth floating around that you have to be married or something like that to be carers. That's also not the case. You can be in a de facto relationship, you can be single, you can be a same-sex couple, anything like that is, yeah. So I think there is a lot of myths floating around, but my encouragement would be to just have a conversation, because it generally busts those myths.
Principally, anybody can become a carer.
Yep.
They have to satisfy themselves that that's something that they actually really want to do and can make a commitment to provide a secure, safe and happy home environment, however that looks, whether it's same-sex couple, whether it's a single person or a married couple, whatever, de facto.
Yep.
But as long as they've got the room and the love to give to a child, to a secure and safe environment, because a lot of these kids come with their own difficulties, which was what we'll talk about now. So what might be some of the difficulties of becoming a foster carer?
Yeah. All of our children in care, you know, when you're considering foster care, you will hear the word trauma being thrown around all the time. Our children in care have a level of trauma, some more than others. So some of struggles can be managing those traumas and managing those behaviours that might come from that trauma. Generally, though, we would hope to think that carers are well supported in that area in terms of behaviour management strategies, positive behaviour support plans, counselling and therapy and things like that to kind of, I guess, support them to support the young people through those behaviours.
Not to gild the lily too much, but to say basically it's not a walk in the park every day, and there are some difficulties, but if you're well supported by your foster care organisation, you can follow that path, you can give the children a secure and safe home environment, happy home environment, manage the difficulties in the hope that as they grow older, some of those difficulties are less, I suppose.
Definitely. We hear from our carers all the time that absolutely it's not a walk in the park, but I have never heard a carer say that the negatives outweigh the positives. They always say that the positives outweigh the negatives of the experience.
Well, I know a lot of people get involved in community organisations. This is sort of one step further. It's not only that you're helping the community, but you're helping a individual person, a child who is, you know, one of the most vulnerable people in our community. You're helping them to become worthwhile members in our community as they grow older.
Definitely.
You know, taking them to school, helping them with their homework, you know, the music recitals, all the stuff that having a child's about. And you don't actually have to have had children yourself, do you?
No, that's also a myth. So that's a big myth that goes around as well, is often I haven't had my own children, so I don't really know what I'm doing. We also have a lot of carers where their children have left home. So they've been the parents, their children are now adults and they're now coming back and going, you know, we can provide more.
Is there a payment for being a foster carer?
There's a foster care allowance. So carers get an allowance that covers the basic day-to-day needs for the children in their care. Anything drastically above and beyond that is kind of discussed with the agency about what additional financial support can be provided.
And that might be things like going to particular courses or training or something that the kids are interested in?
Yeah, could be that. Could also be any major surgeries and things like that. That would generally be covered by the agency.
So the medical expenses.
Yeah, huge medical expenses, yeah.
Going back to one of the original questions I asked, and you might have an example for me, why would you want to be a foster carer?
I believe that foster carers can make a really valuable difference in our children and young people's life. I have lots and lots of positive stories that I could share if we had more time around some really great outcomes that our carers have supported our young people through. They are really, really key. But as I mentioned before, unfortunately at the moment and for some time now, we've had a real lack in foster carers. An example that I can give you there is we have a 8-year-old boy that we support, and unfortunately he has been in arrangement with support workers for the last 2 years because we've been unable to identify a permanent placement for him to have a home. So he is such a beautiful little boy, and you know, every day we're working towards trying to find an appropriate home for him. So there is such a huge lack in carers in the region.
So if somebody wanted to make that step after they've actually discussed it within their own family arrangement, they've satisfied themselves, they've discussed it with any other important people, maybe they've discussed it with their parents if they're around.
Yep.
You know, discuss it with everybody that they want, get as much information as possible, and the net's a wonderful thing. However, tell me what the next step is if they wanted to actually really be serious about it.
So the next step would be to reach out to an agency, so either us or like another agency that you mentioned before. We would then bring them through the process, which we would obviously talk to them about it when they came in and made an inquiry. What the process looks like is, and initially it is just a bit of an information gathering. So like I mentioned before, what the motivation is, they would fill in an application form. Applicants for becoming a carer, you can make recommendations on what type of care you would want to provide, but also what age of the children you would want to provide care to. So from there, we look at a home inspection, and then we look at some probity checks. So what those probity checks include is ensuring you can get a working with children check, checking criminal history, but also checking community services records. From there, they then will go to some training that our team does with them around just to get a better understanding of what it's like in out-of-home care and responding to trauma and things like that. And then you look at an assessment.
The first thing to do is walk through the door down at Challenge. Now, we can go anywhere you want. Challenge is down in Beardy Street on the eastern, just past where the mall finishes.
Next to Centrelink.
Next to Centrelink. Walk through the door. Everybody's very friendly. Find out some more information, maybe take some pamphlets. Arrange an appointment there and then. So those checks, so once you actually go through the process, you do your training, you do all your checks, and you might then start with respite.
We have a lot of carers that choose to start with respite. It just kind of gets them used to what out-of-home care is like, gets them, helps them find their feet, I suppose. And then once they've done respite for a while, if they would like to consider more permanent options, that they can discuss that with us.
So there's nothing forced on the carer. It's basically at their own time. And if they realise after they've done a bit of respite that it's not something they actually want to do, go to permanency, they could probably stay at respite.
Definitely.
And they don't necessarily, you know, you're not going to push them into doing anything that they want to do, because principally it's the child that suffers if the placement is wrong.
Correct, yeah.
And we want to avoid that at all costs. We will secure safe, happier home environment where these children can grow and be the best people that they can, so they can be community members as they get older. Well, Tash, I might wrap it up there. Thanks very much for putting forward information about foster care. Very important service, I suppose, within our community. And if you had any parting comments, what would they be?
Look, I would just encourage, as I always do, if you've ever considered it, just reach out. Have a conversation. Our door's always open. And then you make a choice from there.
Okay, Tash, thank you. Thank you for being part of Community Spotlight, and I wish you all the best with doing what you do, a very important service to our young people in our community.
Thank you for having me.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.